Oh, the youth are also dismissed with PPAM. I didn't know that was happening. See you guys. That's great. Well, a few weeks ago now, I started a three-part, another mini-series on mission. And that was a little while ago, if I could get my slides popped up. We kind of looked at this whole overview of Scripture and really asking the question, what is God's mission and what does it mean for us to join in with Him? So we kind of looked at this overview of Scripture from the very beginning to the very end. And of course, the end, we see Jesus coming and making all things new. And that's the end goal. But what are we doing in the meantime? And we learned about how we are blessed to live in God's ways, to live in His kingdom, so that blessing and those ways don't stop with us. Right, we live in God's ways so that we can go out to the world, to all the nations, to our neighborhoods, and expand that we would invite other people and invite the whole world and whole of creation into God's ways. Let me read a passage here that encapsulates this well. It's from Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make His face shine on us so that Your ways may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Friends, we're chosen by God not just so that we can enjoy His goodness, but so that we can go out to the world, to all the nations, and share it with the world. From the very beginning, when God created all things, to the very end, when He comes and redeems everything fully, missions is what is going on in between. N.T. Wright, he explains that the very good that we read about in Genesis at the very beginning, the very good that God spoke over creation will be enhanced, not abolished. And as we reflect on this topic of mission, it's always been very dear to the heart of us as a denomination, to us, the Alliance. In many ways, I would say that we primarily began as a missional movement to go to all the nations and share the ways of Jesus, to make Him known in all the earth. And I pray that we would continue to be a missional movement. Today we're going to really be looking at the scope of mission and how important it is and maybe how much we've been lacking in doing mission and how the church needs to continue on. And I hope that I can encourage each of us here to get involved in mission in some ways. And there's many different ways to do that, right? Maybe it's going on a trip. Maybe God's been tugging at you about full-time missions vocation. Maybe it's giving financially or blessing those who are already out in the field. How can we find our unique part to play in the mission of God? And I really pray that this is a sermon of reflection for us. What is your specific, unique part that God is inviting you to play in His global mission? When we talk about going on mission, usually we talk about it as joining God in His mission, and that's such a good way to think about it. When we read Scripture, it's clear that this is God's mission. It's God's mission. It's a thing that He is doing, and He's just inviting us to join with Him. None of us here have a greater heart for the unreached people of the world than God Himself. None of us love these people more than God Himself. He is the one that's at work. But as we saw in the last message on this with Abraham, God wants to partner with us. He wants to partner with people. And of course we know, sometimes humans can be a bit unreliable. Sometimes mission means God working despite people. Here's this funny verse, I think, in Genesis 8, where the flood has just happened, and Noah, he's on the ark, and leading up to that, there's kind of this chaos. Everything's going bad, so God is going to kind of start from scratch because this guy Noah, he seems righteous. He seems good. So God's going to start from scratch with Noah, and there's a lot of hope. You know, maybe things are going to go better this time, and the flood happens, and he gets off of the ark, and the first thing he does is make a sacrifice to God. It's a good sign. Things are going really well. This is what God says. Genesis 8:21, never again will I curse the ground because of humans. And then listen to this. Even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, God knows what humans are like. God knows that he is going to have to do this work despite us, and yet it's amazing because he still wants to and chooses to work with us and to redeem us so that we actually can be a redeemed people, that we can join in with his mission. This is God's mission. Sometimes he does it despite us. Jonah is a good example of this. You know, Jonah swallowed by the fish. That whole story is about this guy who's called to go on missions and keeps disobeying God. He keeps refusing to listen to God. He keeps running away from God. We always miss the very end, the last chapter of Jonah, where God, in kind of chapter 3, he saved the people through Jonah, and then in chapter 4, Jonah is pouting and upset that God saved countless people through him. God saved countless people through Jonah despite him. One of my favorite stories in the Torah is in Numbers 22 to 24. And it tells us his story about a man named Balaam. And he's an interesting character. He's this like foreign evil sorcerer type character. And a foreign king goes to him and hires him. He pays him money to curse God's people. But of course, this is God's mission, right? This is no person can disrupt the mission of God. So when Balaam goes to speak a curse, he is unable to, and instead, he can only speak blessing on the people of God. This is God's mission. It's not ours. And he can work despite us. And in that passage, it's amazing. In Numbers 24:17, this evil sorcerer, he even starts prophesying, saying, a star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. This foreign evil sorcerer who was hired to curse God's people can't help but bless them. God's mission continues despite people. And even this man, he declares that a new type of king is coming. Friends, this is God's mission. It's not ours, but we are invited to join in with him. And despite us, God, he redeems us, and he actually gives the church deeply important roles to go to all the nations now empowered by his Holy Spirit. Jürgen Moltmann, he says this, it is not the church that has a mission of salvation to fulfill in the world. It is the mission of the Son and the Spirit through the Father that includes the church. This is God's mission, but he invites us in. Another author, kind of reflecting on this idea, he explains that it's the role of the church then to activate the entire people of God, each of us, that we would be activated to use our gifts in bringing the blessing of Christ to our cities and our world. Scott Morrow, he says, the challenges that missionaries face may become increasingly daunting, but God transcends them all. Even today, we're going to reflect on how big the scope of mission still is in our world, but God transcends it all. He continues, it is our belief that God will provide the skills and gifts necessary through whatever ages and challenges come to reach the peoples of the world. That is God's agenda. May it increasingly become ours as well. As we look at this scope of mission, it can feel daunting and overwhelming. Can we remember that Jesus goes ahead of us? Jesus goes ahead of us. When we go into the world to do a good work, to lead a ministry, to do mission, whatever it is, we're deeply mistaken to think that we are starting a work. God is already at work in those places. He's already putting things into place. In the book of Acts, we see amazing examples of this, as we're going to look at towards the end of this message. That the Holy Spirit puts things together. He leads people. He empowers people on their mission. Church, the risen Jesus, he goes ahead of us. He goes ahead of us into the world, into the public square, and into all the nations. He is already there at work, and he is inviting his church to join him. Will we? Will we join him where he is already at work? You know, we want to join in with God because that's what we're called to do. And it's also such a beautiful privilege to see his kingdom come and his work be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we explore this and explore today even our role in mission and what that looks like for us, I want to start by giving us some urgency. In a second, we're going to look at some of the consequences if we don't do mission, but can we start with looking at some of the urgency that actually we are kind of on the clock and need to be moving in mission? We're in a rush. We are told in Scripture, it's very clear that Christ is coming back, right? And he's going to come and he's going to make all things new, but we don't know when that will be. But friends, the church, we should be ready for his return. We should be ready for him to come back. I just want to imagine with me for a second. Jesus, he comes back, right? And it's awesome and it's amazing. And he comes back and he kind of checks in, like, how have you guys been doing? Oh, we haven't actually quite gotten to do mission just yet. Or imagine Jesus, he comes back and he checks in on how things were going, and we say, oh, I know you were leading us to do mission, but I was kind of hoping for a bit more of a clear sign on that. Oh, you know, Jesus, I wanted to give to mission, but I also really wanted this new car, so I kind of stopped giving. Friends, Christ can come at any moment, and we have to be ready. We don't have forever to do this mission. We cannot wait. There's an urgency to mission, right? There's an urgency. We need to do the mission of God, and we need to do it now. What are some of the consequences if we don't? If we don't do mission, what are some of the consequences if we don't go? And I put together a short list, three things. Consequences. If we don't go on mission, and we're going to look at each of them. It's just a list I put together. But the first is that if we don't do mission, the oppressed globally continue to be oppressed. The second, maybe the most obvious, is that people aren't saved, right? People don't hear the good news of Jesus. And the third is really that our actions as believers are a testament to our faith, and our faith without works is dead. Let's look a little closer at these three things. If we don't go, the oppressed continue to be oppressed. I want to read you some statistics here. Today, as we are here in this room, this is from the World Bank Group, almost 700 million people, that's 8.5% of the global population of all people, live in extreme poverty. Extreme poverty. That's not just poverty, but extreme poverty. That means less than $2.15 per day. And something probably even more disturbing is that that number has gotten worse in the last 5 years. The pandemic, it made poverty even more fragile globally, and that number has gotten worse in the last 5 years. Even more than that, around 3.5 billion people, that's 44% of all people, remain poor. They still live in poverty, And that standard is less than $6.85 a day. 3.5 billion people today living in that kind of poverty. And again, disturbing, that number has not improved in any way in 40 years. Poverty is one thing. We, as the church, we can't be blind either to know how vast other oppressions are globally, right? We need to know the numbers. How vast is modern-day slavery around our world? How much oppression is there just going on around our world? In the West, it can be so easy to forget or try to put these numbers aside. They're really uncomfortable. We can be blinded by how good things are and forget what is happening all around the world. The church has an obligation to do works of justice around the world. I think of our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. This one's on my heart, but just in Nigeria alone, one country, in 2025 alone, over 7,000 Christians have been killed for their faith. That's an average of more than one every hour this year alone, and that's been happening for many, many years in just one country. If the church does not take action and join with God in his mission, the oppressed continue to be oppressed. And these are uncomfortable facts, but we cannot, as followers of Jesus, be blind to these things. The next thing, the next consequence, if the church doesn't join with God in his mission, people are not saved, right? That's an obvious one. According to the Joshua Project, who keep really good numbers on this, 3.56 billion people, that's 43.6% of all people, live in parts of the world that are considered unreached by the good news of Jesus. And they can comfortably say that at least 2.23 billion people have had zero exposure to the gospel. I've never heard the name of Jesus, have no idea what a Christian is. These numbers are profound. These people have not, and at the moment really have no opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus. Do you see the need of mission? 3.56 billion people today live in places where they really have no opportunity to hear that they need Jesus to have eternal life. I feel so convicted by these numbers, and I'm sure you do too. These are heavy numbers, and I reflect on the past 2,000 years of the church. And what do we see? We see a lot of good, but we also see 2,000 years of fighting, of debating, of complaining, of building really nice things while billions of people have never heard the name of Jesus. Christians, I think we spent 2,000 years trying to do the best we can, but maybe not disturbed enough that Jesus very clearly tells us to go to these people and they still have not heard the name of Jesus. Romans 10, verse 14, it says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? 2,000 years ago, Jesus told us disciples to go to all the nations, to make disciples and baptize all the nations. And today, this many people still have not heard the name of Jesus. Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And as I reflect on these heavy, heavy numbers, I am so deeply bothered. I feel the Holy Spirit is burdening me so much, and I invite you, let the Holy Spirit burden your hearts with these things. Let him burden us with these heavy numbers even here today. The third thing is this, our faith without works is dead. James 2 says this. It says, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Jesus, he very clearly sends his disciples to go on mission, to go make disciples of all the nations. We have to obey him. If we're not bearing fruit, if we don't want to go out and share the good news of Jesus and bring his light and set captives free and help the poor, then we should be worried about our faith. In the beginning of Revelation, we're given this new perspective of reality. And that's what that book always does. It gives us new perspectives on what's going on around us. And in the beginning of Revelation, Jesus is giving personal messages to specific local churches. And it describes the churches as lampstands. And Jesus, he's walking around these lampstands and he's giving each local church a specific personal message. To the Ephesians church, he says something that I think is so important. He says this, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you first had. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place." I think too often, and I think we're all guilty of this in different ways, we're so scared of the world. We're so scared of what are people going to think of me. We're so scared of other people's reactions that we start to forget who we truly serve. And we start to forget who we truly need to please as followers of Jesus. Reflecting on this, one author asks this question, is missions an option, especially for wealthy countries? He answers, the biblical answer is clear. Every Christian, has some minimal responsibility to get involved in helping the poor brethren in the church in other countries. We've looked at a lot of heavy facts today, a lot of heavy statistics. Let me just give you one more. Did you know that less than 1% of money that Christians make is given to missions? Almost half of all people live in unreached parts of the world. Almost half of all people are living in poverty, and less than 1% of money that Christians make is given to missions. I don't say this to shame us or anything like that. These are heavy numbers, but it's such an important reminder, and the church cannot stay blind to these things. I recognize very deeply that the solution to these things also is not just throwing money to them. These are deeply complex issues. I recognize that. But they are complex issues that should burden every single follower of Jesus to the point of action. Christopher Wright, he says, there should be no theology that does not relate to the mission of the church. So as we reflect on this is a lot. There's a huge need. That's my point in this. There's a big need. Our work is not done. As we reflect on this, as a Western church, what is our role? I think a huge part of our role should be supporting and empowering local churches, local leaders in those places, right? Not just us stomping in there, but how can we empower local leaders in those countries that are unreached? The Alliance has been focusing on this a lot, and I think it's very wise. But I wonder today, as you've seen, this is a huge issue, and there's no simple way to solve this. I wonder today if you can reflect and ask in prayer, what is my role in all of this? What does it mean for me to go even? What does it mean to respond to this need that Jesus tells us to go out and solve? Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's going on a trip. Maybe it's trying to learn more about all this. Can we reflect? Can we pray? Can we ask God, what is my role to play in your mission in this broken, broken world? Friends, our scope of mission is all people, all nations, all tribes and tongues need the good news of Jesus. This is a global endeavor. Romans 1:5 says, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. N.T. Wright, he says, the good news is the story of Jesus being crowned king and Israel being used by God to bless all the nations. Are we blessing all the nations, working out of the victory of who Jesus is and his victory on the cross and his resurrection? Are we finding a way to share the ways of Jesus with all the nations? There's a story, maybe you've heard it, from one of Hudson Taylor's missionary journeys. He did missions in China, and it's kind of an infamous story that maybe you've heard, where they tell someone about the gospel, he accepts Jesus, and then he asks them this, how long have you had the glad tidings in your country? How long have you had this like good news of Jesus? Some hundreds of years was the reluctant reply. What? Hundreds of years. My father sought the truth, he continued sadly, and died without finding it. Oh, why did you not come sooner? Friends, the work of the church is really just beginning. How can we join in with what God is doing, where he is inviting us to share his ways around the world? To encourage us, I want to look at one last story. This is from the book of Acts, from the early church. This is Acts 13. It says this, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. There's so much in this story. Can you notice that this is God's mission? This was not their idea, but this is God's mission, and Paul and Barnabas are joining in. Notice that they're empowered by the Spirit like each of us, right? We've talked about this. If you follow Jesus, you're empowered by his Spirit. And most importantly, do you notice how quickly they followed the request of the Holy Spirit? Notice the immediate obedience and trust. It wasn't years of deciding or debating or discerning, but following. Church, the book of Acts, it doesn't end as we flip the last page of that book, but the book of Acts is the history of the church. What does it mean for us to add to those pages and to join in with God in his mission to make disciples of all the nations? I hope that a bit of what we've looked at as we've looked at this scope of mission and how much there is left to do, that it's burdened your heart like it has mine. I also want to affirm that you alone cannot solve all of this. I hope you know that, but we do need to do something. All followers of Jesus are a part of God's mission. Mission, it's not this one-time thing. It's not this one thing that we do, but we must follow Jesus's commandment to make disciples of all the nations throughout our whole lives. Well, as I was working through this, this felt heavy, and I want to give us practical ways to respond. Again, I really ask that you take time to pray about this, to actually reflect, what is your specific, unique role in God's mission? Maybe reflect for us as a congregation with me. Where is God taking us? How can we join in his mission globally? I also want to remind you of great things that are already happening and how to support them. One thing that the Alliance has been doing is called the Jaffrey Project, right? And it's right there. You can scan that to get more information about that or to give. They help people in a part of the world where 1.8 billion people have never heard of Jesus. And they're working to plant local pastors, to empower them, to train them. They're sending humanitarian aid and international workers so that Jesus' name can be known. So I encourage you today, you can scan that, learn more, you can give there. This is a bit about what our denomination is doing. But today I also want to step into prayer here together and a time of listening. What's our unique role in this mission that God is doing? Well, Jesus, as we reflect on this and as we look at this scope of mission and the consequences of not doing it, it can feel overwhelming. God, would you burden our hearts as your heart is burdened for the hurting world? Jesus, would you lead us? We listen to you here today and this upcoming week even. Would you show us what part can we play in this mission? Holy Spirit, would you come and would you move our hearts? Amen.